Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast, single, not stalled, pursuing sanctity in your singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it's by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie Hinderer, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, professional growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Okay.
To our Jewish roots. What's your joy for the week?
My joy for this week. This is going to sound really funny, but I started going to this place that stretches you. That sounds really funny.
Cool.
It's kind of like a chiropractor, but like for the muscles. So they like literally stretch you out. And I'm kind of obsessed with it. It's like better than a massage to me. Literally better than a massage. And it leaves me feeling great. So I just had that done and it's was awesome.
I have to go to this stretch place because in my mind, like nothing trumps a massage. I am a spa girly. If I had the resources, I'd be a spa girly.
Yeah, no, in fairness, I'm not a huge massage fan, although I'm trying to get better at it.
Are you like a physical touch person?
No.
Well, because I feel like people who have like an aversion to physical touch, like, would be uncomfortable with a massage. They're like, please don't touch me. Like, people who are like, just please don't touch me. Like,
oh, I'm not like that bad. Okay. I'm not like our aunt who's like, do not give me a hug. No, like, that kind of thing. But I'm not like, I don't like... For instance, when you go and get your hair cut, like, I'm not, like, opposed to, like, them doing that. But when they're, like, massaging your head for, like, 10 minutes, I'm like, we can just move it along,
please. It's, like, one of my favorite parts about, like, if I don't get a hand massage with my manicures, I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Ma'am, please.
I don't know why. Literally. I'm too, like, let's just get it done.
Oh, like, no, but that's the best part. I'm like, that's so nice.
Anyway. But amazing. The stretch thing is very interesting because obviously, like... stretching you in all different ways and stuff. So they're like, they're touching you. They're moving you all over the place. But,
oh, I guess.
So it's pretty physical touch, but, yeah, it's very funny though. Also, you'll enjoy this. I mean, I guess this is probably true to the rest of it, but, they're always like, relax. You're supposed to be dead weight. So they can just like move your legs and arms like, and whatever. Resisting. And they'll be like, relax. No, Katie, but seriously, relax. And I'm like, sorry, I keep forgetting.
That's like, so funny. Oh my goodness. Wow.
But anyway, that's my joy.
Oh, cool. My joy of the week is that I was babysitting my friend's dog. So I had a little dog for the weekend. And what's so funny is I think our family is coming from this space of big dogs. We've always been medium to large dog owners. And mm-hmm. So I have this literal, like, he looks like a potato, like a freaking teacup dog.
Tiny.
Just curls up on my lap and sits in the funniest places in my apartment. And there's something actually like... kind of cute about, there's a little part of me that like the rebel part of me is like, I refuse to look like this kind of woman who's like carrying her dog in her arm. But then there's also a part of me that was like, low-key, I actually love the convenience and the cuteness of this.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of a Napoleon complex though.
He barks at everything,
especially if it's
big. Big man on campus.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he's protecting me. He sleeps with me at night, like, wow. And he thinks he's protecting me from the shadows. It's pretty funny. But yeah, that would be my joy is that okay. I don't have any pets, so it's kind of fun to have pets for like short bursts
because
I don't want them long term, but a short burst is fills that little need for me, which is great.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
love it.
A takeaway from our last two episodes was to think about new things about your personality that you've kind of discovered or ways in which it's kind of shifted your prayer life. So what are some thoughts?
I mean, I've obviously already done like a pretty deep dive into all of this. So, I don't think I necessarily had any like new thoughts or revelations as a result. But it has made me kind of like think through my prayer a little bit more and be like, I just want to keep making sure that it's not a to-do list item. Cause for me, it's all about the to-do lists. So,
Yeah, I think I've been kind of looking more at, I can be really impulsive. And in part, like my gut, yes, I make quick decisions and my gut's almost always right. But I've slowed down a little bit to ask myself, is this a gut instinct or is this a protective instinct? Right? Because my core wound is that I'm going to be hurt and I'm scared of being vulnerable. And like, I need to always protect myself. In small ways and in big ways. I think when people hear that, they think of, like, these really big things. It's not always that big. Mm-hmm. But kind of asking myself, like, oh, is this a little, like, even, like, I always feel like time, we could actually do a whole episode on this, like, the just time, the concept of time. Mm-hmm. And to me, I often feel like time is almost my enemy. Like, I'm running out of time. And it's like, well, where's that idea coming from? Like, well, it's almost a fear response of, like, well, what if I don't get everything and then I'm stuck or then I'm hurt or then I'm out of control and, like, time is completely out of my control, right? Yeah. It's one of those things we can't control and there has to, you know, my personality type has to learn to be comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. I think I've been kind of looking at that perspective a little bit and then taking this into my prayer kind of more. It was a knee-jerk reaction when we talked about it last time. Like, I felt myself internally being like, hell no. I will not be bringing to my prayer, how can I trust you more? How can I open up more? How can I, like, let go more? Like, I feel like I'm already trying, you know? Sure. And so then, but what I know now after learning my personality more and being in therapy for a while is like, when I have that strong of a reaction, I need to lean into it.
Sure.
And probably do what I'm resisting doing. And so I think praying a little bit more about, like, okay, I trust you. Even just, like, that act of being like, okay, fine, I let go, I trust you, is tricky for me. Some people
it's true.
Are really comfortable with that and others are not.
Yeah. Depends on your personality, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So this week, I'm actually steering this boat, and I wanted to talk about, like, professionalism, but especially in the idea of, like, new jobs, applying for jobs, like... Mm. All of this kind of stuff. And I think it's, like, near and dear right now on my heart, or, like, something that I'm really, like, thinking about, because I just went through this whole hiring process to bring two new people onto my team. And there were just so many things that I was like, what the heck? And so many things that afterwards I was like, oh, if someone would have done this, they would have stood out from the crowd.
Oh, interesting.
For sure.
So I think this is important for our listeners, because as singles, we're all in the workforce.
Right. Yeah, you're working and, like, hopefully you like your job, or you want to get a job that you like, and you want
to,
you know,
or you're trying to climb that ladder, you are applying, or you're pivoting, or you're mentoring people. I think a huge part of the beauty of kind of this singleness is that we have the time and the energy and the ability to mentor others, especially if you're vocationally single. And a big part of mentoring is work. And I don't think work is everything. I think it's a little bit too much in the zeitgeist of American culture of, like, work, work, work. And we over-identify with our work, but it is a huge part of what we do and we have to do it well.
Well, and it's, I mean, what we were made to do, right? Like, you know, read Genesis, and Adam and Eve were created to work. They weren't, like, work was not, people often mistake and think work was a punishment for original sin. That's not true. Work being hard was the punishment for original sin.
Ugh.
Work was a normal part of life.
That we used to enjoy.
Yeah.
It's the name of the game.
Right? Exactly.
Can you enjoy what you do?
So, you know, so I think that that's really a thing. So I thought we could go through maybe a list and, like, talk through this list of things that I have that people did that I was like, what the heck? Mm. And we could kind of, like, discuss that. Like, I think could be kind of interesting.
Number one.
If you want. Okay. Number one. Ready? Using ChatGPT solely to write your resume, cover letter, email, etc., without any personal, like, edits, changes, or whatever.
This is interesting because I feel like, yeah, well, there has to be a balance. I am not against AI. Nope. I'm like, let's work smarter, not harder. Get this job done. Same. I've even put my resume into ChatGPT and said I'm applying for this kind of job, change the language to fit that job. But I think we don't want to lose the personal touch.
And see, this is what I saw is, like, it was just so clear, the people who used AI to write their cover letter, who, like, put no information about me or my company in, and just was like, write a cover letter to apply for this job.
Interesting.
And so it came back and it was like, it was just full of things that I was like, this is not true.
Oh.
Or just not real, or just not personal, right? Like, somebody was like, I've been a fan of your company from before it was even named that. And I was like, my company has only had one name ever. So
listen.
I was like, so I don't literally know what you're talking about.
Wow. There's also, to me, a laziness there that we're, like, not proofreading. And I think one of the big things, I will say one of the reasons why Katie and I have some ability, well, you more than I, you own your own business, right, to talk about this, but our dad was a senior vice president of human resources. So when I tell you, I had to sit down in his office and go through a formal mock interview for a lifeguarding position I was applying for, like, so we were raised in a really particular HR culture.
Yeah.
My dad wanted us to be very ready for the business world. So there is a lens here. But one of the things I always remember dad saying was that you have to research the company and to the best of your ability, research the person interviewing you so that you can have a personal connection. Because here's the thing. We can sit here and we can be like, oh my gosh, AI, 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 all these things, it's going to take over. It cannot take over the personal touch. And most businesses and jobs are still relational. Mm-hmm. And so if we lose the relational aspect, you lose opportunities.
Well, exactly. And I'm not saying don't use AI to write your cover letter, right? I can literally, I did that this week and we just booked a client because of that. But here's what I did, right? I saw this company that I really wanted to work with was looking to hire a social media manager. Obviously, that's what we do. So I went into AI. I dumped the exact job description that they were looking for. I dumped all the information about them. My ChatGPT already knows me and everything about my business because I've already trained it in that way. And then I said, I would like to write a letter to this company explaining to them why they should hire my team and bring on a team of social media managers instead of hiring a part-time employee to handle that. Can you put together a compelling letter using all the things that they're looking for and all the things you know about my company in order to put that together? Also, I've known this brand for this amount of years and I, you know, have been involved with it in this way.
You put in personal details.
And then it spit out this lovely letter. I edited it a little bit, sent it off to the company and they hired us. So I'm not saying don't use AI, but it was just so clear, the ones who only used AI without any like information, just like write a cover letter. And you're like, womp womp.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah. Okay. And I will say, the takeaway on that is don't lose the personal touch.
Mm-hmm. And I think to that, we'll make that number two, is to research the company and or the person who you're interviewing with.
Yeah.
Right. And I interviewed 13 people this round. We got over 50 resumes. I interviewed 13 people. No one this round asked me a single personal question based on anything. And, like, I have a lot of information out on the internet.
Here's a cheat code.
Let's be clear.
So this is what I'm taking away from, like, how Dad raised us and, like, what I've done in professional interviews, what I did for my graduate interviews and all of these things. What makes you stand out and all the research behind interpersonal relationships and career counseling and stuff is that we can't underestimate that personal touch. But what happens is when I ask you a personal question in the interview, you want the person to remember you and to feel a connection to you. And I think sometimes we go in saying they need to know my skill, but they also need to know who you are as a person, because they're not only getting your skill set, they're getting you as a person and a personality. And a lot of work these days is very culture based. People want you to fit into a culture. You're not just a machine popping out XYZ. Like, a lot of companies are very family. That's the word they're going to use, or culture and stuff. And so to really show up and beyond your other peers that you're competing with for these jobs, the relational touch is going to do great. And then when you ask that person a personal question, when you follow up with them with an email or a phone call, you add that in to show I was paying attention, I care, I can build and foster relationships.
Yes, absolutely.
So how do they do that if they didn't ask you any questions?
They asked questions, but nothing was like
personal.
So this is the thing that I thought was interesting. So not this round of interviews, but an employee that I actually hired 2.5 years ago or whatever. In the interview, I was really impressed by her. She was a recent grad, so I was not sure if I wanted to hire a recent grad because, like, she'd had no work experience, etc. And in the interview, you know, we were wrapping up and I said, do you have any questions for me? And she was like, I do have a question for you. And she's like, it might be a little bit more personal though than like business. And I was like, oh, okay. And she was like, I saw that you really like thriller novels. And she said, and I really love them too. And I'm wondering what the best one you've read in the last couple months is.
Yes.
Okay, I hired that girl on the spot, and still to this day, we're constantly sharing thrillers back and forth.
Excellent.
And to me, to all these ones that I interviewed, I lobbed to them. The very first question I asked is, I would love to know about, like, let's say I was interviewing you, Monica, And I said, I would love to know about, you know, your professional career, etc. But I would also love to know who Monica is outside of work, is what I said. To me, that's a lob. Because if you did any research into me, you could have said, you could have shared something and then said, and I also like to hike. And I know you do, too.
Sure.
Or I hiked the Grand Canyon. Like, that. Like
what? But I, what's so interesting is people don't know how to. This speaks to so many episodes we've done on friendship and encountering and relationships and communication. We've lost. It's an art. It's a skill set. What I teach my clients is that we want conversation to be like a volleyball match in which I send a ball, you play with it for a while, you send it back, but with enough information, I can play with it on my side for a while and send it back, unlike a tennis match. Boom, 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 dead. Yeah. And so what happens here is that people have kind of really lost the art of conversation and of just, because it could have been as simple as, you know, you start the interview and you're like, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm good. Any fun plans for the upcoming weekend, the holiday weekend?
Yeah.
And someone's going to say, oh, you know, we're actually going to this lake house, blah, blah, blah. And so the follow-up email where you say, thank you so much for interviewing me. Enjoy that lake house this weekend adds a personal touch of, I was paying attention. I listen and I care about cultivating relationship, which for your line of work in which you're working with customers and clients is so important.
Right. Exactly. And So that actually brings me to number three is of the 13 people I interviewed, only two sent an email thanking me for the interview. And I got to tell you, I was shooketh by that.
Kind of appalling.
Actually. Because I was like,
do you think
that is ridiculous?
Do you think we find that so appalling because of who our father is?
I think like, do you think
we've just been
but
so
it's,
conditioned?
Yeah, but it's also just like, yes. I mean, absolutely. We know to do that because of who our father is. But I also think like that's, I was talking to someone else about this and I said, what would you say is the standard like
procedure
journey of applying for a job? And she said, write a cover letter, write an in-depth cover letter, send your resume, follow up if you don't get an interview, do the interview, immediately send a thank you. And I said, okay, just checking. So the fact that no one sent a thank you, two of the 13 sent a thank you, I was
so for anyone listening
blown away.
After you leave, it's a couple hours later, definitely by the end of that evening, the next morning.
24 hours, sure. I'm good with.
And you're going to send, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciated the opportunity. Add a personal touch. This is why we're talking a lot about what does a personal touch mean? Like, enjoy the lake house this weekend, or I actually just purchased that thriller that you recommended. Thanks so much. Whatever it is. Add that personal touch.
And I would also add one or two skills of yours that you feel would be a good fit for the company based on what you learned.
Right.
So you told me about this, and I really think my, you know, strong work ethic would be a great fit for your company and what you do.
Yep.
Something like that. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be in depth. Honestly,
no,
two lines would have been
it's so simple.
Sufficient. And I will tell you, there were several candidates who, if I had gotten a thank you note, I probably would have hired them over the ones I hired.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. But the fact that they couldn't be bothered to send a thank you note, I was like, no, I'm not. And especially for me, in a very customer-oriented business,
yeah.
If you can't be bothered to go one step beyond, I'm not interested in having you on my team.
Like, well, because this is how you keep relationships.
Exactly.
It's not necessarily how you make the connection, but it's how you keep the connection. So do you think that, like, I'm kind of curious, this is, I guess, where my brain goes is to kind of understand the why behind what's going on. And I wonder if almost kind of jobs and everything being so online, we don't need kind of, you could send 50 applications in a day and there's no personal touch to it.
But
so do you think that that's made this impersonal?
But those people aren't getting jobs. And then they're shocked that they're not getting jobs. And I'm like, well, you're not getting jobs Indeed. Because you're just sending the same resume to everyone on Indeed and a blanket cover letter that covers every. So you're not standing out. Like, why should I hire you? Hmm. Right? I would be much more likely to take an interview with someone in the cover letter who maybe their resume wasn't exactly what I was looking for, but in the cover letter, it was super clear that they researched my company and know what we're all about.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Because they like bother to take the time.
Yeah.
So for sure. So I would say number four of things that I saw that I was like, what the heck, were people who made their resume and or their cover letter in Canva and then kept the file name, that same thing. Like, cute pink cover letter design.
Stop.
Not even kidding you.
Oh, it's the little details.
Modern teal resume.
Stop.
Not kidding.
Yeah.
That's and I was like, I don't, it well, didn't need to say
what
resume for Rosebud Social. It could have just said Monica Hinder resume.
Yeah, that's fine.
But the fact that you didn't even bother to change the file name, I was like, are you kidding me?
It's so interesting to me. Well, because I think that speaks to not just that process, but like, you know, so many, you need to be detail oriented in particularly your line of work, but in various lines of work that there's, you know, that I pay attention to detail. I care about my appearance. Like, and in an online world, our appearance looks different.
Totally.
Because it's one way to dress a particular way for an interview and to show up. And it's another way. This is interesting because it's making me think of all of these researchers that talk about our first impressions.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people think their first impressions are the words that come out of their mouth. But your first impression was actually made at the second someone saw you.
Yep.
The second someone laid eyes on you, they made an impression. So the way you're sitting in that waiting room waiting for that interview matters. The way you walk into that place matters. What you're wearing matters. How your hair looks matters. Like, you're not even going to, by the time you say your first words, the impression has been made. And so what does that mean in a digital age? Well, it means the way your resume shows up, the way your cover letter shows up, the way these different documents show up, they're all saying things about you. And I think we have to be careful of how we're coming across these kind of first digital and social impressions we make.
Yeah, totally. Actually, this is making me think, and this will meld well into number five, but twice I worked for the company that my dad worked at, but one summer I interned in human resources. Their secretary was on maternity leave, and so I just took over the secretary's job for the summer. And I remember because my dad and I would commute back and forth. So I was always the one greeting the people who were coming in to interview with him. And I could tell you off the bat if they were going to get a second interview or not from the way they looked when they walked in the door.
Mm.
Because if they came in super disheveled, a minute or two late, scuffed up shoes, I was like, there's just no way. They're not. And if they showed up 10 minutes early, greeted me, asked my name.
Yeah.
The lowly secretary who doesn't matter at all.
But she mattered.
Well put together. I was like, oh, she's getting another interview. Yeah. Like, she's getting hired or he's getting hired.
What I will say is this researcher that I was listening to even said when you're sitting in the waiting room and you're on your phone,
yep.
If someone has to pull you off your phone, like, just don't even have it on you.
Yep.
Just, you don't need it.
So, yeah. So to number five
is,
especially if you're applying for a digital job, how you show up on Zoom. Like, yeah. The amount of people who showed up and, like, the bed was unmade behind them.
Stop.
Not kidding. Not kidding. Or it was just, like, this mass chaos. Or someone jumped on the interview in Starbucks.
You know, I have clients who take, they try to take their therapy calls from Starbucks. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you need to be in a private location. Like, well, it speaks to kind of like the casualness of everything.
But it's also like hard to hear the person in Starbucks with like everything going on in the background. Yeah. And like, to me, that was like, I didn't care enough to move myself. Like, honestly, you would have been better off taking it in your car.
Yeah. And been like, hey, just
like, I'm so sorry, my internet is out today.
Yeah. Or like, look, chaos at home.
This thing happened.
I wanted a quiet and private location because I care about paying attention to this meeting.
But I'm sitting in Starbucks.
So I'm in my car.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think, you know, thinking about what does your Zoom background look like? Like, what is this? Because I just, you know, like the person who got in and like the bed was unmade behind them and it was just like disaster all around. All I could imagine was I'm going to ask them to client face. Oh. I'm going to ask them to hop on Zoom calls with a client.
Mm-hmm. There's no way.
With their bed not made behind them and like clutter all over. No, I cannot.
Hmm.
How will the client trust them to make quality content?
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Wow,
and I think probably things that people haven't really even thought of because we live in such a different age now, right? Because, like, as soon as you're like, oh, da-da-da, the bed, I'm like, that should never be anywhere in a professional video or a call. But then I'm like, well, but I think COVID times changed so many things that we're learning, I think, for the first time how to have kind of these online interviews, yep, or phone interviews. And so there's a learning curve with the etiquette, I think. And I think we're probably seeing that now, especially with this new generation coming up. I mean, they are struggling in the workforce. Yeah. Gen X. They're being fired at unprecedented rates. Yep. And that's really concerning. I worry for them.
Yeah, because they just don't. They have a hard time, like, knowing how to show up.
They have a hard time with feedback. And they have a really hard time with the demands of the jobs. I think they got away, especially in school, with technology and all the stuff, with the bare minimum. And COVID with the bare minimum. And there really weren't too many consequences for things, and there was a lot of flexibility, and they've been coddled a lot, and corporate America doesn't give two
hoots.
They don't give two hoots. Corporate America doesn't give two hoots. I'm gonna tell you what, your Gen Z, no, is it Gen X? It's the boomer, and then what?
X.
Gen X doesn't care. These old men don't care. They don't care, and so...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So a six, I would say, is coming to the interview without questions prepared for me.
Interesting.
I gave position. All of them.
You should have at least time, two.
And you should have at least two that are off the cuff. And listen, if you can't think of something, go to AI. Put in the company that you're interviewing with. Put in the job description that you're interviewing with. Put in your resume and then ask it to generate 12 to 15 questions, solid questions that you could ask during the interview. And please, like, this is the other thing that I noticed. So some had no questions. They're like, nope, that covers it for me. And others asked a very generic question.
Such as?
Three of them asked me this, which I didn't mind this question. But once the third person asked me, I was like, oh, this is just a question you were told to ask. What does success in this position look like to you?
Oh, so AKA tell me how to be successful.
Uh-huh.
What I think is interesting is, I'm curious about how you feel about this, because like I, as the therapist who, I mean, I have my own, I don't go through interviews, I don't,
yeah.
But I coach people, but because I'm so like pro the individual, there's a part of me that's like, the individual should be coming to this meeting in a similar manner of dating, in which I'm curious if you're a good fit for me and I'm a good fit for you.
Yeah.
And so it's okay to ask questions about their leadership style or the culture of the business to make sure you fit in and to make sure you want it. Mm-hmm. Just because a job offers you a position doesn't mean that you should take it. It doesn't mean that you'd be a good fit or that you like the company or that you even want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's okay to ask things like, tell me about what work-life balance means for your company.
Right.
Because if work-life balance is meaningful to you, and then you're in an interview where they say, oh, our employees love to grind, and they never take their vacation time, like, well, maybe you don't work for that company.
Right.
Because you're not going to fit in with the culture. And so I would think about things that matter to you in regards to what type of leaders you work well with, what type of coworkers you like, what type of culture you like, what type of work-life balance you want. And sometimes those can inform the questions you ask your future employer to be able to make sure that you also want to work for them, not just they want you.
And I think, you know, it's funny, as the interviewee, I asked that question. I asked almost everyone we interviewed, I asked, what's your preferred communication style? Most people could not tell me. They said, oh, well, like, do you guys like email and Slack? Yes. Okay, well, that works for me. That's not a preferred communication style. I also asked...
What is? Like if you were to ask me that, I think I would be like, text, then email, at the very last phone call me. Is that what you mean by that?
Yeah. Oh. Like, I want to know, but I also, like, okay, so if I were to answer that, I would say, I tend to work best through written words. So I'm probably going to email you, text or Slack you first, but I'm happy to hop on a call when needed if we need to really like hash something out. That's probably what I would say, my communication style. But if I ask what your communication style and you turn back to me and say, well, what does your team use?
No.
And I say email and you say, that's fine. That's not your preferred communication style. That's just you yes ma'aming me.
Yeah.
But the other question that I asked is, what's a work culture or environment that you excel in, and what's one that makes it very difficult for you to succeed?
See, you're asking
people couldn't answer.
Well, because people don't really know themselves that well. This is what I'm thinking. Like, people are kind of I think some people are desperate for work, so they're just going to say whatever they need to say to get a job, or they're going to...
But again, yeah, I think a theme if you're going to do this, if you're going to prepare, put into ChatGPT and say, I'm about to interview for this position. What are some questions they're likely to ask me?
Yeah.
Shoot it out, and then you sit down and you answer them yourself so that you're prepared. And if they don't ask you those questions, great. And if they do, then you're prepped and you're ready, or you have some responses.
Yeah.
Okay, ready for the next one? You're going to die with this one. Oh, no. What are we at? Number 7?
Oh, I've been mortified this whole time. All right, give it to me.
People who saw the job posting either on LinkedIn or Instagram or Facebook or whatever and private messaged me and said, I'm interested in the job. Can you give me details?
Like they didn't just...
They didn't read the job description, which at the bottom said, for more details, you can visit the website here to apply. Do this. Just literally slid into my DMs and said, saw your hiring. Can you give me more deets?
So it wasn't even like a networking. Because sometimes you'll have a networking connection where it's one person, like they didn't see the job posting. Someone connected them.
No, it wasn't like, Scott told me you're hiring and that I might be a good fit. Like, I'm curious. Because I think
we want to be careful about when we, because I think we were just talking about how like, there's a lack of being really personal and everyone's just shooting out 500 resumes and how you need to make it personal. And networking is a huge way to do that. Like flex your connections, network, network, network for sure. So yes, those connections of like, hey, Scott told me you're hiring, would love an opportunity is really great. You're saying people just saw your professional Insta page and they just DM'd you.
Yep.
Without even clicking, without reading the caption, kind of like a laziness. There's a laziness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally, like a complete laziness. But I got multiples of those, both on LinkedIn and Facebook. And like, if you had bothered to just read, and like, it's not like I wrote pages and pages for this job description. Like it was pretty clear, right? Like if you had just read it, you would know exactly what the job is, exactly what I was looking for, and exactly how to apply. But like, no, just slide in those DMs and just be like, hey, like I'm interested. What's next? I will tell you honestly, I did not reply to one single one of those messages because I was like, if you can't even find the time to look at my website and the job posting on my website,
how bad do you want it?
I don't need you on my team. You're clearly not going to go above and beyond for my clients if you can't even do the basics to find a job.
Is there a pattern here in a demographic? Is there an age?
No.
Is there a gender? Is there a...
Well, okay. So I will say most of the people who applied were women.
Well, okay. Maybe that's industry standard, but...
But I think that's pretty industry standard for social media management and that kind of a thing. But I will say no across all ages. I mean, certainly like it was like young millennials and Gen Z. Like I didn't have any baby boomers apply for a job or even a Gen X.
I don't know. Yeah, sure.
But it was definitely millennials and Gen Zs. But that, I mean, spanned
a decade or more.
Several decades, I think, probably. I probably had, people in their 20s and 30s applying. Actually, I will tell you, I had a 19-year-old apply who I interviewed. And I was more impressed with her interview than most of the 20 and 30-year-olds. Well, a 19-year-old
says she's still in college. And if she's applying, she's probably a hustler.
She had just finished her freshman year in college and thought she could take on a part-time job while she continued her college education.
What a hustler.
And I was honestly like, she probably could. I needed her to have more experience, but I was like, honestly, she'd probably get shit done, man. Like she would do it.
Yeah. You need to bring that kind of energy to your interview.
Anyway, but that is it. And then the other thing I will say is, and I think this is, I want to nuance this with, I think women tend to downplay our skills and our talents. Mm. And back in the day, women tended to not apply for jobs.
They felt they weren't.
They felt they weren't qualified for. Whereas men,
yeah, ladies,
much more traditionally, will apply to jobs. Like it'll say, 5 to 10 years experience or whatever. And a guy's got 5 months and he's like, I can totally do this job. Yeah. Women are like, well, I have 9 years, but I don't have 10. So I don't know. Okay. With that said, I think that's a little bit shifting right now. The number of applications I got. Now, remember, I own a social media marketing company, right? So I need people who have social media marketing experience. The number of applicants I got from people who just said, I have an Instagram account, so therefore I'm a good fit.
Oh.
No professional experience, nothing. But I've been trying to become an influencer.
I kind of like the audacity of it.
I mean, I was a little bit like,
To be honest, if everything else had lined up, though, like, if they had been an all-star person who was super professional, where you're like, wow, she'll get shit done. Because this is the other thing. It is not about skill. I can teach someone how to do almost anything.
Yep. No, I agree.
But I cannot teach you to have a better personality, and I can't teach you work ethic, and I can't teach you, like, these are kind of intrinsic things we're coming in with or we're not. And so sometimes, like, why do some of these men get these jobs? Well, because they're coming in with the bravado of, like, I'm going to crush this.
Right.
And so we believe that, and right. we say, you know what? He doesn't really know what he's doing, but he'll figure it out.
Well, and that's why this 19-year-old who applied, I gave her an interview. Because I was like, impressed. This girl looks like she's going to crush it. Like, she totally could do this. She doesn't have the experience. And, like, after talking with her, I was like, oh, I definitely need someone who has a little bit more experience. But I agree. Like, and I often think that. Like, I would rather hire a right-fit employee who doesn't have much social media experience, but I know is a hustler, than someone who has tons of social media experience, and I think they're just going to sit around and do nothing.
So what would you say is a takeaway for our listeners this week in regards to professionalism or kind of how they're conducting themselves in their work environment?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is kind of what we've said multiple times is, like, connect, like, get personal, right? Like, even the number of people who email me, like, people that I know who emailed to apply for the job and said, dear hiring team.
Oh.
I'm like, you literally know it's coming to me.
Yeah, so I would say that the takeaways are to think of how can I show up authentically, right? Because there is this, like, authenticity that seems to be kind of missing. So authenticity, being personal, but professional, right? So I think the kind of the work for all of us is, like, how do we strike this balance in showing up and being professional and confident and, like, I know what I'm doing, but very soft and personal.
Yeah, totally. I'm here for it. If you're applying for jobs, good luck. I hope all this helps.
That's it for this week on Single Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are in your journey, remember that God is with you, and this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving this podcast, please take a moment to rate and review it. It helps more women like you find this community. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Join us on social media. We'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Until next time, keep living fully and walking boldly.